somebody that I met in the 1900s. And I'd like you to welcome Greg and his wife, Patty Bryce, who is going to be speaking to us this morning. Greg is a pastor from People's Church. He's the past executive director of SIM Missions and a graduate from McMaster University and Tyndale Bible College, formerly a missionary to Bolivia in South America, a friend of Trevor Seath's and our chairman of the board, Steve Mitten. He's also a friend of mine, too. Met him many years ago. So now we would like to welcome Greg. Please give him applause. Welcome, Greg. You can talk for as long as you want.
As long as my voice holds out. Thank you. I'm glad to be here today. I'm just trying to figure out, I like to wander a little bit, and I'm not sure that I'm going to always stick close to this microphone. So if I move, I'll try to just raise up. It's okay. I think you'll be able to hear me, and if not, just raise your hand or whatever, and we'll speak up. What's that? Patty's telling me a note. Okay, like this? Okay. Good stuff. Well, thank you for coming this morning. I would rather talk to a couple of people than no one, so thank you. I have been studying in the book of Hebrews in my own personal study time, and I'd like, if you brought your Bibles with you, if you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. I want to very quickly read several verses. I'm going to start in the middle of a paragraph, so if the English teachers here will forgive me for doing that. I have a particular reason for doing that. So Hebrews chapter 2, I want to speak from this passage, and what I'd like to do is share with you an outline that I first heard about 30 years ago from a guy by the name of Duffy Robbins. He was a youth speaker, and he had a very, very simple three-point outline. They tell me, you know, that they have to have a three-point outline, so I need to stick with that. I don't use a use outline, so I'm going to use it this morning. But the first point is, man has a problem. God has a plan. The choice is up to you. And we're going to be talking a little bit about that this morning. But I want to start reading from Hebrews chapter 2, starting at verse 9. But we do see him who has been made a little lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom all things, and through whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim thy name to the brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. Since then the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. For as surely as he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendants of Abraham, therefore he had to be made like his brethren in all things, that he might become a merciful and fruitful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Wow. That is a pretty heavy couple of verses. And while we're not going to spend a lot of time in each of those phrases, I do want to just spend a little bit of time sharing with you a little bit about our problem and God's solution to that problem. And then I'd like to just do an application. My mother-in-law passed away several Sundays ago, and I was watching her die over the last couple of months. Not a nice thing, but I was amazed at the way that she did lean into death. And for many of us, we have fears. And I think probably if we stop long enough, one of those fears may be the fear of death and fear of dying. And we do everything we can to prolong that particular thing. And I want to encourage us this morning that we don't need to fear because of what Jesus Christ has done through us and for us. So let's go into the text here. Man has a problem. As you know, and just the life that you have to live and are living, we struggle as people, as human beings. We can blame, I guess, in some ways, the nature that we had on the first Adam. Adam and Eve were placed in a garden. It was a perfect situation. They were innocent. They were perfect. They were complete. And yet, God, when he created the world and he created a garden for them to work in, he said to them, I'm going to set aside a particular tree that I don't want you to go near. I don't want you to eat from it. And it's kind of a test to see if you're willing to be totally dependent on me or if you think I might be holding something back from you. Well, as it turned out, eventually Adam and Eve would eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they would begin to understand evil and good. They would begin to die, actually, which was the consequence that God had said, if you take of the fruit, you're going to die. Now, what he was talking about there was a physical death, that is, separation from your body, okay? So they began to die the moment that they touched that fruit and began to eat it. So they were going to die physically. So death is kind of a separation from something. So physical death is separation from your body. There's also a spiritual death that was involved. In their relationship with God was severed. And there was a separation, and spiritually they became dead to the things of God. But it went further than that. The individual that they began to submit themselves to was the person of the devil or Satan. He was the one that had tempted them. And so when they were in the garden, they had been given dominion over all of the world. They could name the animals. They could look at the plants and give them names. And science has done all of those things. But they forfeited their right to have dominion over all of those things when they submitted themselves to the authority of another, Satan, the devil. So what happened at that moment, there were a number of things that happened, and there are all kinds of different pictures that we can paint to when we talk about the gospel. But one of them is that they were placed into the kingdom of darkness. So they're in the kingdom of darkness now. They had been part of the kingdom of God. They were part of in a relationship with God. God was their king. God was the one who dwelt with them. They interacted. They fellowshiped together. But as soon as they disobeyed God, they were placed into this kingdom under the authority of Satan. And today, the world system that we have all around us, not the world itself, I'm not talking about the world of flowers and plants, it's cursed and it has its own problems, and we see it, you know, in the earthquakes and the different things that are happening. There's a groaning that nature is going through as well, but the world system, the philosophy of the age, has blinded our eyes to the kingdom of light because we're in the kingdom of darkness. So this kingdom of darkness, we're in this kingdom. and we're under the influence of Satan. We're tempted. Well, I don't know about you. I can't speak for you. I can speak for me. Okay? I have things that come my way that tempt me to kind of oftentimes do my own thing, to be selfish, to think only of myself. That's kind of my own physical flesh that's involved with that. The world system and the philosophy of the ages tells us that we ought to look after ourselves, that the most important person alive is me. So that's in conflict because you yourself probably think that you're the most important person. And so everything you do is kind of winding up trying to protect and watch over yourself. So that's a conflict. So we're going to be in conflict with one another. The devil himself sends temptations our way. So there's a number of different ways that we're tempted. But we're under the influence of Satan. We're in his kingdom. The kingdom of darkness, the scripture calls it. So that's a problem for us. How do we overcome that particular... How do we have the strength even to overcome temptation when it comes our way? Well, we can try really hard, and some of us do. But inevitably, what happens? We fall into temptation. We fall to that challenge or the thing, and that happens to us over and over again. Because we don't have the strength within us to overcome Satan and the nature that was in us because of our great-great-great-great-grandfather, I guess 19 or 20 times removed back to Adam. However many generations back, probably more than 20, I guess, eh? A lot more than that. So, we've got a problem. Verse 14 tells us that one of the reasons why Jesus came to earth and why he was sent by his Father was that he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Now, the devil doesn't have the right to kill any of us, to destroy any of us. God, the creator of all of our lives, he's still the one who's responsible for the timing of our death. Satan isn't. Satan goes before him continually and accuses us of things that we've done before God and reminds God that the wages or the price of sin is what? The price of sin or the wages of sin is death. Romans tells us that, right? So that's if we've sinned and we have this nature towards sin that is bent and it's kind of become a habit to move towards and to be involved in this kingdom of darkness, we don't have the strength to overcome that. That's our nature. We naturally move towards protecting ourselves or towards doing the things that we think for a moment would be nice or protecting ourselves. So that's kind of a natural thing. But God wanted to do something that would render this person powerless. He goes on and he says, and might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all of their lives. There are a number of things that bind us as human beings. One of them is sin. Sin binds us, wants to control us. But there's another thing that controls us as well, and that's our fear of dying. Now, most of us don't spend a whole lot of time thinking ahead, thinking, well, you know, I've got more wrinkles, I've got graying hair, what's happening, what's my future look like? And when we do think about it, oftentimes we're fearful of what might happen to us, because we, generally speaking, know that there's something that's going to happen in the future. There is a future, but what does it look like for us? Scripture doesn't tell us a whole lot about what heaven looks like or hell. There are descriptions, a little bit, on both of those, but not enough that we know totally what's going to happen. So there's an uncertainty, and many people, as they draw closer to dying, there's a fear There's a fear of death. And throughout our lives, there's an attempt on our part to exercise or to eat healthy foods in the hope that maybe we will live just a little longer, or at least the quality of life will be a little bit better as we live life. And those are good things. Those things happen to us. But here, the author of Hebrews says that Jesus Christ was sent to earth not only to break the power of Satan, but also that we would no longer fear death. We don't have to fear death. I remember several years back when my mom passed away, she was in palliative care for a little while, as was Patty's mom just recently. And it amazed me how they leaned into dying. They were prepared and they were ready, and they said, "Hey, I'm ready to go. It's okay. You don't need to worry about me. I know, based on the promises in God's word, I know my future. I don't know all about it, but I know. So I'm not worried. Don't worry about me. Everything is going to be fine." That's an amazing thing, to look at death that way. And I want to encourage us that many of the fears that we have are fears that we don't need to have. And I'm hoping that as we go through today's time in study, that we might be encouraged to know that we can trust and depend on God. If He can take care of our eternity, surely He can take care of the things that are happening today in our lives. If you're willing to depend on Him for eternity, and that's a long time, that is a long, long time. If He can handle that, I'm sure He can handle the struggles, the challenges that you're facing today. And all of us have them. Well, I want to go on just a little bit more here. I want to just... So we talked about the wages of sin is death. So we're separated from God. Remember, as human beings, when we're born, we're in this situation here. We're in the kingdom of darkness. We have a nature that is bent towards sin, that just naturally loves to do our own thing. And that's a problem, because we're without a relationship with God. And it's our relationship with God that is going to determine our future. So God had a plan. God has a purpose. God has a plan. He's a smart, smart person. So what He did, and we can read about it, starting at verse 9, where it says, "But He made Him to be a little lower than the angels." So that was Jesus Christ. So Jesus, the Son of God, part of the Trinity, divinity, God set Him aside. God sent Him to earth in a little position that was lower than the angels. That's our position, right, as human beings. We're a little lower than the angels. So Jesus came to earth. He came, and what does it say here? It says, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace, the goodness, the favor of God, He might taste death for everyone. Jesus comes to earth. Jesus is born as a child, as a baby. His very nature, everything about Him is exactly the same as you and I. He's human. He has to be human, because if He's going to taste death for us, and that was part of God's plan, has to be just like us. He has to be just like us. And then He has to be somehow a little bit different than us. The very nature of God, Jesus Christ, becomes a man, a little baby. And we read that in verse 14. Since then the children share in flesh and blood, so He had to become flesh and blood. That's what He had to become. And likewise partook of the same. He meant He had to come here to be just like we are. In fact, in verse 17, it says, therefore, He had to be made like His brethren in all things. So He was born of a woman. just like each one of us were.
We used to kid my sister that she was hatched.
She didn't really like that, but we're all born of a woman. The interesting thing about the creation, if we could use it in that sense, of Jesus Christ becoming a human being, was that the Holy Spirit was involved in his conception. That's a difference. But yet he was still born with the very form and blood and all of the different things that we struggle with in life, in our body. He struggled with those same things as well. He was a human being just like we are. Yet he had the capacity to overcome sin because he wasn't born with that sin nature that we had, because the Holy Spirit was involved in his conception. He was in some ways what they call the second Adam. First Adam sinned. He passed down to all of us, all of his descendants, his nature that was connected to this part over here, the kingdom of darkness. Jesus comes as the second Adam, or I like to call him the last Adam, and his nature he wants to now give to each one of us and to place us into the kingdom of his dear son, or God's kingdom, the kingdom of light. How do we get over there from being over here? How do we move from here to here? How does Jesus Christ take our sin, past, present, and future, and to come over here where we're righteous and holy? Because in verse 11, he talks about sanctifying. And that's to make holy, to make somebody holy. Wow. You and I could be made holy? How is that possible when I know how I live day by day? I know how I think day by day. And there are some unholy thoughts in my mind and in my heart sometimes. Well, God's plan was to send Jesus Christ, Jesus the Son of God, born as a babe. Now, I know most of these things you've all heard before. And this is the gospel, but I want to remind you of them, and I want us to have a little bit of an application at the very end. So I'm going through some very, very basic things that I know you've heard over and over again, but I think they're an important reminder for us of the greatness and the goodness of God. Jesus comes to earth. He lives for 33 years. He preaches. He teaches about a new way. He teaches about the gospel. He teaches and encourages people to love God and to look to God. He teaches about a Holy Spirit that will come after his death. Jesus is crucified as a common criminal. The authorities couldn't really find anything against him, but he was crucified anyway. 3 days later, he rises from the dead. His resurrection is the foundation on which you and I can have faith in all the things he taught and the gospel that God gave to us through Jesus Christ and was revealed in him. The resurrection proved that death couldn't hold Jesus, because the wages or the price of sin is death. But if he didn't sin, death couldn't hold on to him. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead, giving to each one of us the potential and the hope, if we believe and trust in him, that we also will be resurrected from death. That spiritual, I'm not talking here about spiritual death, I'm talking about the physical death that we're all going to go through. So when he died, a number of things happened. We read here that that in verse 17, therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, that he might become the merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. to make propitiation for the sins of the people. His sacrifice was equal to all of the sins and all of the things, all of the challenges and failures that we've had as human beings and are part of the kingdom of darkness and of death. All of that, his sacrifice covered. But there's something that you and I have to do to respond to what he did. The Bible is very, very clear that there's an accepting of him to be the Son of God. There is the believing that he is the Son of God and that his death was the substitute, as it talks about in this passage, for those who come to him. So his substitutionary death was for me and for you. And in his death, that substitutionary thing, as I commit my life to him and I commit my way to him, guess what happens? Well, you know, I'm sure, most of you that have been taught in Scripture, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells me. And the moment the Holy Spirit comes into my life, guess what happens? I move from the kingdom of darkness. I move from the nature of sin that I had. And I'm actually placed into his kingdom, the kingdom of God, given a new nature that God places in me through his Spirit, a new life, a new nature that actually isn't bent towards sin, but guess what? Is bent towards doing what God originally intended and planned for us, to obey him, to be dependent on him. Now, if I obey him, I still find it very, very difficult. You know, finding that some days it's very difficult to follow through what God wants us to do and how he wants us to live out of it. And in my own strength, I couldn't do it. How could I possibly live like God or like Jesus Christ without his power and his life in me? I can't live a divine life. But the Holy Spirit living within me, living through me, gives me the strength day by day to live like Jesus lived. The same Holy Spirit that lived in Jesus lives in those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ. That means then that his Spirit lives within us. And I have the resources that I need day by day to live in obedience to God day by day. To have a relationship, it's because of his Spirit living within me connects with God that allows me to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and with God through Jesus Christ that will last forever. As long as I have Jesus Christ in my life, guess what? I've got the strength, I've got a new life and a new nature to live out the life of Christ in me. That's what he wants to do. He wants to live through me so that I can touch the world for him. I can't do it in my own strength, not my human strength, but his life living in me. And that's the gospel, that's the good news, that I don't have to try really hard not to sin. I don't have to try really hard to be like Jesus. He's made me like Jesus. He's given me life, the life of Jesus Christ through the Spirit of God that indwells me. And that gives me the opportunity, the power to live in his strength, to be able to fulfill the purposes that God has for me today. And when tomorrow comes, the strength to be able to do tomorrow what I need to do, what he wants to do through me. He wants to live in me. I sometimes get in his way. I sometimes still, every once in a while, kind of, you know, buck them or give them an elbow. Say, no, this is me. I want to do this.
if we're willing to be dependent on the strength and the new life that he gives us, that indwells us as his followers.
We're no longer in the kingdom of darkness. We're in the kingdom of light and light, the kingdom of God. And he's transplanted us into this kingdom. He's put us here. I want to read two verses of scripture to you that I hope will encourage you. Because in our life, day by day, we run into problems. I run into problems. I sometimes do things I shouldn't do. That's my timer. Romans 8:1. In spite of all that God has done for me, I do at times want to do my own thing. But it is important for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, when it comes to fear, we are fearful of certain things. Does God really forgive me for what I did? If I was really his child, Romans 8, verse 1 says, I want you to listen really closely. I want you to read it. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If he has transplanted me from this kingdom of darkness, which I once was a part of, and his Holy Spirit lives within me, there is no condemnation. Let us say there is not. Sometimes, maybe, every once in a while, maybe. No. No is no. There is no condemnation. Jesus Christ, God, the judge of the whole earth, Genesis tells us, will never condemn you as a child of God. There is no condemnation. Things that I do, he forgives me. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. What I thought was bringing respect. There's no condemnation. So when there are thoughts and ideas and things thrown at you that condemn you, you know it's not from God and it's not from Jesus Christ. Now, the Holy Spirit does convict us of sin. But that's a whole different thing than condemnation. Condemnation tries to destroy and bring you to despair and discouragement. Conviction is meant to kind of help us. Okay, right, yeah, you're right. I need to see what I just did the way you see it, and I was wrong. And I need to come to you. I need to ask you to forgive me for that. He's forgiven us for all of our sins, but we need to confess to him some of those things so that I feel that the relationship with him is back to normal. But he always has a wonderful relationship with me. He, in fact, doesn't see any of my sin. But that's a whole other story. We'll have to talk about that at another time. One other passage of Scripture that I think is an important one is in the same chapter, Romans chapter 8, but it's something you have to grab hold of. Because sometimes we might think, I think maybe the Holy Spirit left me because of what I just did. He left me. And that is in verse 35. And it's a rhetorical question that the author to the Romans is writing. And he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to slaughter. But in all these things, we are overwhelmingly conquerors through him who loved us. I am convinced, writes Paul, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He loves us. He has moved us from this kingdom into His kingdom. We're His children. We're His brothers and sisters. We're His family. We've been adopted into the family of God. He loves us. And He holds us. And there isn't anything that can separate us from the love of God. There's nothing that can separate us from God because we have a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as long as Jesus Christ lives in us, we have that relationship. How long does Jesus Christ live in us? John 3:16 tells us. Eternal life. I'm going to give you eternal life. He's living in us forever. He lives forever. He lives in me forever. Based on His promises, we can grab hold of those promises that there is no condemnation, that there is no power that can separate us from God. With those two promises alone, the choice is really up to you. Whether you want to fear death and be bound and slave to that, or some of the other fears that you may struggle with. And we do. There are fears that come. There's things that come. And we're wondering, okay, God. And you know, the more we spend depending on God, I think sometimes the bigger sometimes those fears get. They'll get smaller. But He's with us. He says, I'm not ever going to be separate from you. And I'm with you. I will never leave you. So if we're His children, we're part of His family. He's with us. He wants to bless us. He's given us the Holy Spirit to live within us. He wants to live through us. And we live now day by day with that strength and power that He gives us to live like Jesus Christ lives. And as we allow Him to live through us, and as we're dependent on Him, guess what? The Holy Spirit begins to kind of chip away at some of the old junk and some of our old ways of thinking and the habits that are still from this age and time over here. And the Holy Spirit chips away at those things. And He slowly molds us and conforms us into whose image? In the image of Jesus Christ. I don't know where you stand with predestination, but I do know for sure who are part of His kingdom, part of His family, we are conformed and will be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's His promise. We know how it ends, and we're going to be just like Jesus Christ. New body, mature, we're not going to be God. We're going to learn and grow see how awesome God is all through eternity. But we're going to be conformed to His image. And that is that the image that we love and adore? We love Jesus. We want to become more like Him. We love His teaching. We love who He is. And because He lives inside of us, we become more and more like Him because we're taken up with Him. We're passionate about Him. Characteristic of idols. And then in verse
good job or whatever. We can become just whatever that good job looks like. If we're passionate about wanting things, then things begin to possess us after a little while. We become just like that. Things that aren't sensitive, aren't hearing, aren't listening, aren't caring. But if we're passionate and committed and depending on God and on Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, who lives within us, guess what? We become just like Him. All of those characteristics that Jesus has. Oh, what an awesome person He is. I want to be just like Him. And little by little, the Spirit of God working and moving in our lives makes us. The ability to reach out and touch people that are carrying your burden. I don't know what it is that you may be afraid of and you're fearful of. But I just want you to know that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And nothing can separate us from God. Nothing. So there isn't really too much that we need to be afraid of. Is there? We're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. When we leave this body, we're meeting the presence of God. God doesn't leave us. I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. So we don't have to fear some of these things. I want you to grab hold of some of these things when you do come to a place that you're fearful. And at night, maybe you're on your bed and you can't fall asleep because there's some turmoil or some challenge or something going on that you just don't know how you're going to overcome. You're fearful, but grab hold of it. And it's at that moment that I trust the Holy Spirit will bring to you some of these verses that we looked at. God will see you, and He will bring you to live with Him forever. So you can risk a little bit more. You can take chances. When He asks you to kind of connect with somebody and share the gospel or reach out in love and compassion to someone, you can chance, you can risk because you don't have to be afraid. He lives and He wants to live through you so that you can be His hands, His feet, and touch a world that is still, for the most part, over here. And He would love to see more and more of the people in this kingdom